You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. And welcome to another edition of The Bill Murphy Show, your digital broadcast for Thursday, February 16th, 2012. Brought to you by the fine folks at Lulu's Bait Shack, live music, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks they're famous for, down on A1A in Beach Place in Fort Lauderdale Beach, world famous Lulu's. Live music coming up there this weekend with one of my favorite bands, Ghost of Gloria, Friday night, and Sun Domingo on Saturday. Freddie and Marcos' show is happening Sunday afternoon, so there's live music almost every time you walk into Lulu's. Check them out. Also, Satchmo on Commercial Boulevard between Bayview and US 1. Live music there from JP Soares Friday. King Mudfish on Saturday. Divas at Satchmo on Sunday, February 26th. That's a big show featuring a lot of South Florida's finest female artists. And the Big Band Show returns there with Stu Grant and friends on February 27th. So go visit Satchmo as well. As we bring another singer-songwriter onto the show today and let you listen to some great acoustic rock, my guest is Jesse Young, whose Forward Motion Records EP released last year called Live, Love, Learn. We will explore that one in depth. He's appeared at Sunfest in 2009, 2011, shared the stage with the likes of Jason Mraz, Styx, Steve Miller, and Edwin McCain. The EP, by the way, available on iTunes and at Amazon MP3, and it was funded through Kickstarter. That will be another point that we will cover today, because Kickstarter is a great thing for up-and-coming musicians. And he seems, we'll start with this, he seems to be still using MySpace. I read a stat yesterday, Jesse, that said that MySpace had over a million new subscribers in the last year. And meanwhile, all of us thought it was dying to Facebook and everything else. But MySpace seems to be alive and well, and people still use yours, do they not?
You know what? I was under the same impression that it was dead. I've kind of neglected the MySpace page.
Well, you got to get back on it, apparently.
Yeah, you know, I found that when they switched over to a new design or something, and recently it's gotten a lot more confusing. I don't like the new layout of it, and it seems harder to get on there and navigate stuff. So I just, yeah, that one's kind of gone by the wayside. I've kind of, you know, used Facebook a little bit more, but Twitter is my main form. That's just the easiest way to get information out there and direct people to links where I have music set up or this or that. It's a lot easier for me to use than worrying about MySpace.
And I guess a quick way for people to find you on Twitter is to just search Jesse Young there, and they can follow you. And
yeah, twitter.com/JesseYoungMusic.
Do you broadcast your every move on Twitter, every little thing? You know?
No, I'm definitely not one of those people. And I don't use Facebook. I have it set up where my Twitter account posts to Facebook. So usually when anything pops up on Facebook, it's because it's come from Twitter. But
right.
No, I don't feel, you know, that nobody really cares about, you know, what I'm doing every 2.5 minutes or every time I go to the grocery store. But, you know, occasionally, if I've, you know, got a show going on or talking about new music, like there's a new guy out of Australia named Gautier, who's one of my favorite artists right now. So I made it a point to, you know, say something about him. And
very cool.
You know, stuff like that. Or, you know, I have a one-year-old daughter, so sometimes I'll, you know, talk about her a little bit. But yeah, I'm definitely not like, go into Publix to grab a sandwich or, you know.
Right. Well, you'd be surprised how big some fans are, that they would appreciate all that every move, but right. We won't get into that. So you're a new dad, relatively new. You have a one-year-old. I'm sure that's keeping you awake and, you know, for 20-something hours a day.
She keeps me busy between the day job and her. I mean, that's pretty much all I've got going on.
Well, we want to get into this personal side of you because, again, you're one of those artists that, sure, your music is out there. You're very accessible. People can find your stuff, but there's not a lot of heavy material in the bio sections. Is that because you are a relatively private person, or you don't like writing a lot of stuff about yourself?
I hate writing my own bio.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And have struggled with it forever, trying to come up with one and reworking and this and that. And I think the one that's out there right now, I had to have a friend do, because I just, like...
No, I totally get it. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I'm the same way. I mean, I have to do that myself, and what am I going to write about myself, you know? So.
Well, every time I do it, I feel like it sounds just stupid.
And that, yeah.
It sounds, you know, like people are going to be like, well, look at him, you know, blowing smoke up his own, you know, whatever. And I just, it's just like, I don't want to sound like I'm a, you know, I don't know. I don't like talking about myself that way. And I just feel like I always sound stupid when I'm doing it.
So all right. I totally get it. And let me go ahead and walk you through some of that then to make it a little easier on you. You are based out of Coconut Creek, Florida, which if people are out of the area aren't familiar where that is, it's sort of northern Fort Lauderdale and I guess in the almost Pompano-ish area. And but how did you come to be a South Floridian? Were you born here or did you come here by way of another town?
Just like pretty much everybody else, I came from another state. I came from Michigan. I was born in Arizona. My dad was in the Air Force, so we moved around a ton when I was a kid. And both my parents are originally from Michigan, so we settled back there. That's where I spent most of my life, went to college at Michigan State.
Oh, wow.
And I hate cold weather. And so after college, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she was looking to move out of the state, and her parents had moved down to Delray, and we came down here. We liked the area.
Uh-huh.
She found a job down here pretty easily, and so I just came along.
All right, so the Michigan connection, and we've had a number of musicians based out of the Michigan area, in Detroit and specifically, heavily influenced by the music in the area and very, very proud of that. How much of the Michigan sound is in your blood coming into your songwriting and so forth?
Definitely a little bit. I mean, I was in a band, started in high school and all the way up through college, and we toured around a lot in Michigan, the Midwest, and things like that. And there were a lot of bands that were really big in Michigan, like 19 Wheels and Domestic Problems and Knee Deep Shag and The Flow, and a lot of these bands that did really well regionally and, you know, should have made it, but never quite got there. And, you know, they definitely influenced me and were, you know, bands that helped my band kind of come up a little bit and gave us opportunities to open for them and things like that. So that definitely influenced it a bit. But I would say, you know, bigger influences, you know, came from people like Phil Collins and James Taylor and Dave Matthews and Nani DeFranco. I mean, those are the kind of the people that turned me on to the way that I write music and the way I play guitar.
Not a bad list of influences. And just to touch on the whole Michigan and the Detroit thing in general, and I don't know how close to Detroit you spent any time, but you know,
I grew up about a half an hour from Detroit.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, everyone's been hearing sort of about the troubles of the area and how things are going. And every time I hear that, I think, well, you know, I think Detroit should use music to save itself. I mean, is there enough of a culture there that maybe music can really put its trademark on the town again here in this era?
I don't know. You know, I haven't been there for 8 years.
Oh, okay.
Or so. So it's been a while since I've been up there, and I don't know what the scene's like now. But, you know, the scene was definitely better than the South Florida scene, because I think anyone knows that there isn't really much of a music scene down here.
Right.
At least, you know, for original music. So it was definitely better than here, but it was nowhere near, you know, like New York, Nashville, Atlanta, L.A., like the places, you know, where you have a lot of really good music coming out of. I mean, kind of the only thing Detroit's known for recently is the White Stripes, Eminem, and Kid Rock.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, so I mean, there were good bands there, but they just, you know, they're never, nothing ever major ever really developed.
Well, let's hope that it still continues to thrive and we still discover great music out of the area. And I guess I could put you in that category. I want to just dive right into Live, Love, Learn. I love the fact that the title's not Live, Love, and Learn. It's just Live, period, Love, period, Learn, period. And it sort of capsulizes what's going on in this four-song EP. Where you kind of summarize the events of a relationship from beginning to end, and in the 15 or 16 minutes or so of the EP, you've got an entire sort of concept wrapped from beginning to end. Is that a good description of what Live, Love, and Learn is?
I've actually gotten that before. The first person that ever reviewed the record when it came out made that connection, that she thought that it was almost kind of a concept album, where the album, you know, kind of starts at the beginning of a relationship, and you kind of see it progress and then slowly dissolve at the very end. And that wasn't really the plan.
I think
that's just kind of the way it worked out, and just by, you know, random chance or serendipity, if you want to call it that, that the track order went that way. Because I definitely, when I was writing the songs, didn't plan, okay, I'm going to do four songs and they're going to have this thing. I mean, I would love to be able to say I did that, because that'd make me seem really smart, but
right.
I didn't have that intention. I wrote a bunch of songs wanted to do a record before my daughter was born. And Zach Ziskin, who was the producer, you know, I sent him, you know, 7-8 songs, and he picked, he said, I like these four the best.
Wow.
And that's kind of how, you know, I said, okay, well, I agree. And I, you know, kind of said, well, what about this one? He says, no, I like this one, because we kind of had a dialogue back and forth on what the songs were going to be. And then, so, you know, between Zach and I, we those are the four songs we picked. We felt that they were the strongest four. And then it was just a matter of, okay, well, I got to put them in an order. And I started with Every Step We Take, just because after we recorded the song and added the horn section and everything on there, that song went from being my least favorite song on the record. When Zach first said he wanted to do it, I said, really, you don't want to do this one? You want to do this one? You know, I liked it, but I wasn't feeling it at the time.
Yeah.
By the time we got into recording, some of the changes we had made and adding the horns into it, by the time the song was pretty close to being recorded, I went from it being a song that I wasn't really happy about being on the album to going, this song's got to open the record because it's just, it's fantastic. So
wow.
That's kind of why that one became the opener. And then, you know, If You Go, I always felt was the hook, the catchiest tune, the single. So I, you know, put that second, and then I wanted to, you know, have a little bit of a slower song third, and then it really ended with a bit of the rocker. And that's kind of how the order got decided. And yeah, then somebody pointed it out that it was, you know, kind of like a concept, and I went, wow, that's actually kind of a neat way that it worked out. And it is. I mean, if you look at it, you can make that connection, and it's, you know, kind of neat that it worked out that way. But it wasn't intentional.
All right. Well, it's very man of you to admit that. That's very cool. Now, we're going to tease everybody with a couple of tracks from it. We actually have enough time where we could play the whole thing, but we'll feed everybody a couple of tunes and then make them go out to Amazon MP3 or iTunes and get the whole thing once they discover that they really like it, which I'm sure they're going to do. Now, number of things that pop up when you search Jesse Young and hear your comments that you make about the record and then little pieces you've done in some interviews before. You talk about this transformation that Zach Ziskin put your music through. And we had Zach on recently, and that's how I learned about you. Actually, we met briefly at the Forward Motions live show, did we not? I think so.
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a hectic evening, but I do remember seeing you there. You talk a lot about this. Zach really works some magic. Let's take a listen to If You Go, and then I want you to talk to us after everybody's heard it about how it sounded in your head before Zach got a hold of it and what the song went through. And but first, tell us a little bit about the lyrical context of If You Go and you know, how this song came to be.
That song is basically my wife and I relationship, you know, evolution in, you know, 3 minutes. And it's basically kind of the exact story of how we met and this and that. I mean, you know, we met in college. She knew my band because her friend was in a band that was good friends with us that opened for us all the time. So that's kind of how she learned who I was and liked some of her music. And we happened to meet one night off you know, at campus, just at a house, kind of after hours after the bar, and started talking and realized we knew some of the same people, and we just kind of developed what started as a friendship, and then it, you know, quickly turned into more than that. And it was, you know, when I met her, she was finishing her, she's a teacher, so at Michigan State they go 5 years instead of four, so she had graduated but had to do a year of student teaching, so she was still there doing that, but she knew that she wanted to get out and had planned to, you know, originally wanted to move to, like, California or something like that. So I definitely wasn't in her equation when we met, and so the whole time we were first starting to date and things like that, I kept thinking, you know, she's going to split any second, and I was really starting to fall hard for her, and I was thinking, no, this girl's going to break my heart because, you know, she doesn't want a boyfriend. She doesn't, you know, I'm not in her plans at all.
Right.
And so, you know, but after a few months, I think, you know, I got her, and I kind of won her over, and she stuck around, and, you know, that's nine years ago. We've been married for coming up on 5 years, so, you know, it all worked out, but it definitely wasn't her in her plan when we first met.
Excellent. Well, here's the music version of that story, and we'll see if we can hear that desperation in this song as we listen. It's If You Go. It's from Live, Love, Learn, Jesse Young on the show today.
You saw on stage. It took a while, but I finally made it happen.
If You Go from Jesse Young from Live, Love, Learn. And we have him on the show today to talk a little bit about it. I'm a sucker for jangly, hooky pop rock like that. You're categorized as acoustic rock, but there's plenty of electric guitars going on in there. And that's brings me to sort of my next question is the instrumentation that ended up being put in there with yourself and Zach Ziskin producing, how much more went into it than you even planned or that you had in mind after you'd written the song?
Well, I we call it acoustic rock because I play acoustic guitar, and so it's
right.
Kind of always got that acoustic underneath it to it. But it's definitely a lot of my songs I do like to have it a little bit more rock like that. So my instrumentation kind of usually ranges from at the minimum a 4-piece with me on the guitar, bass, drums, and electric guitar.
Right.
And then I love to add a piano and a saxophone when I can. So I knew for a song like that, it would probably be pretty much a straight-up kind of rock tune with those instrumentations, maybe adding some piano to it, depending on the track. But, yeah, I mean, instrumentation-wise, that song kind of turned out how I did. It was just Zach's production or some of the things we changed in the songwriting that, for me, took that, not only that song, but the whole project to a different level.
Right, and it sort of lent itself. There's some supporting nice guitars in there that sort of drive the song along, and they're playing acoustic parts. This is my interpretation of it anyway, but with nice, clean electric sounds on there to sort of drive it into the next sort of category and give it that upbeat, poppy kind of sound. So
Right. That's
where I was going with that question,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very,
very cool stuff. So that is If You Go. Now, as we go on through the record, it, and as you said, it kind of mistakenly was interpreted as a concept record of going from one thought to another. We have another track here called Running that we're going to listen to as well. But let's talk a little bit more about the studio experience for you, because it was, again, Zach Ziskin behind the helm, at the helm producing this for you. You really, really saw a whole transformation of these songs like just coming to life. It must have been just an exciting thing once you started hearing rough mixes and then newer versions, and then it just kept picking up. And the one thing I'm really rather impressed with was the backup vocals, that whole section of there. Is that all you on those voices on the background vocals?
The dot-da-da part?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The dot.
No, that's actually, that's all of us. It was myself, Zach, Fernando Perdomo, who played bass, and Derek Cintron, who played drums.
Oh, okay.
Of course, we all gathered around a mic and sang the da-da-da's into the mic. So that's
beautiful. The way it should be done. That's right.
Exactly. So we all did it one. You know, we did we all sang the melody part, and then we all sang the harmony. So you could put all. You know, so it's really all eight of our voices. On top of it.
You know, at this last weekend's Grammy Awards, Dave Grohl came up and said some pretty inspiring words, and I think
Absolutely. Think
sort of took the music industry into another chapter here where everybody's becoming so cognizant of real music and real musicianship. What's your take on what was said there, and how influential do you think this dialogue will be?
I think it's essential for that, and I thought that his comment was amazing. I actually thought it was kind of unfortunate that his speech got cut off to introduce Ryan Seacrest. I wish they would have let him talk a little bit longer, because Jeez. He was saying a lot of really great things. I think it's great that you can have a band like the Foo Fighters, who's playing all their own instruments, writing their own songs, recorded their stuff in their basement on track. Not to say that not using computers, I think it's fine, but I think a lot of the music now is so heavily based on computers, and you don't even really have to understand music or really how to play it. You just, we'll fix it and I'll make it sound right in the computer. And,
right.
I think that it's leading to, I'm not a big fan of a lot of the stuff that's out there when you have, it's just, I miss the days of good songwriting and this and that. And now it's, it seems more about the beat behind it. Like, I can dance to this, so I like it. Rather than, does this song mean something to me? Does it move me in a way?
Mm-hmm.
It's more just about, I like this and I can dance to it and it's got a good groove, and that's fine. I think there's definitely a place for that, but I don't think that should be all what music about. I mean, the thing that's great about music is that it can move each person, and one song that moves somebody might not do something for the other person. That's what I love about music, is that it can, in each day, there's certain, sometimes when I listen to certain songs and it'll come on and I'll get a totally different feeling about that song than I did when I've heard the song 50 times, but for whatever reason, on that day, that song just hits me, and you know, can be inspiring, or it can, you know, can make you feel a million different things, and, and that's what I love about music, and that's part of the reason, you know, why I would say any of us are trying to do this is just to put have someone else get that reaction from one of our songs. If I can make somebody have that kind of visceral reaction from a tune that I've written, then I feel like I've won.
Yeah, and I think this whole realness of music, you can sort of feel the wave of the beginning of maybe a revolution of sorts of people kind of not putting up with it anymore, and they want it to be more authentic. I mean, you have what Dave said last weekend. You have Howard Stern coming on America's Got Talent, who's going to sit there and not take any crap at all. And not that he necessarily knows that much about music, but he can tell the difference between real and crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, I just think everybody's sort of demanding this. You're going around with the four guys singing around one microphone to do the backup vocals so that it sounds real. And I think people are getting back to that kind of real sound. So it's a nice trend. And I think Live, Love, Learn is one example of it. And something you should be pretty proud of, my man.
I'm so proud of this record. I know we haven't quite gotten there yet, but, you know, the whole record was really inspired by the impending birth of my daughter last year. And I've, you know, since I stopped being with the band I was in college, because we all graduated and moved to, you know, drummer went to California and I moved to Florida and this and that, I've been, you know, basically on my own. And since then, I've never gotten to do a full length record. I've always done, you know, five songs here, and then I did another three, and then I won a battle of bands down here in Florida. So I got free studio time. So I did another three songs. And so I was like, you know what, I want to do one more record. And I was, a lot of the stuff I'd done in the past, I was never quite happy with the production. You know, I thought the songs were great, but I just never thought the songs were as good as they were reflected on the records.
Gotcha.
And I really wanted, you know, I didn't know how having a daughter was going to change my life, whether or not I get to keep doing music or this or that. So I said, you know what, I got to go with the mindset of this may be the last record I ever get to do. And if it is, I want this thing to be the best thing it can be, because not only do I want to be really proud of it and, you know, feel like I left it all out on the table, but also I want her to look back on it in 15, 18 years and go, man, Dad, you were good. And I want her to be proud of it too.
Well, and, I'm sure that weighed in heavily to the authenticity and the real emotion behind a lot of the music there. So,
yeah. And so that's how I found Kickstarter, because I, you know, with the kid coming and this and that, I didn't, you know, records are, you know, they can be done cheaper than they could have been 10, 15, 20 years ago. But it's still, if you want to do it right, they're not cheap. And I didn't have all that kind of extra money just laying around. So I went to Kickstarter and used that. And at first I was trying to raise the money to do a full-length record and couldn't quite get that. I had raised enough to basically do four songs. So with Kickstarter, if you don't meet your goal, you don't get any money. So
that way, I see.
You know, that way the people are, you know, they're investing in you because you told them you were going to do a 12-song record, and if you don't do that and you only can do four songs, they're not getting screwed because that's not what they signed up for.
Okay.
Which I think is a good way to go about it.
No, absolutely. So how did you get around that? Did you change the goal halfway through?
I redid it. You know, I had to do it. So that one failed, and I had to put up a new one and start over and lowered the limit because I figured, okay, well, so I raised, you know, this amount, and I could probably get a little bit more because I knew some people hadn't donated. My parents hadn't kicked in, and I knew that if I was pretty sure that they would, you know, come up with, you know, a couple extra bucks if I needed it. So I figured, okay, I can do four songs. Let's plan on that. So I made that my goal, and basically everybody repledged exactly what they did the first time, and I got some new people involved and was able, you know, this time to raise the money. And you know, I had known about Zach kind of pretty much since I moved down to Florida as a, you know, the songwriter, and then through his production on Hillary McRae's record, and just, you know, he's friends with Fernando and Derek, who I've also been friends with for a while. And so I talked to him about doing it and got together with Zach, and we kind of talked about what we wanted or what I wanted to do and what we were thinking about doing for the project. And he said, yeah, well, you know, I've got these two musicians that I use a lot. They're really good, and, you know, I feel really comfortable with them. And I said, okay, who are they? And he says, you know, Derek and Fernando. And I was like, Derek and Fernando are my buddies. I just did a show with them at Sunfest, you know, last year. I've played with those guys a lot. So it worked out perfectly that those were like his go-to guys for recording.
Uh-huh.
And those were guys that I had played with, and, you know, and so it was really easy to get involved with them and start working the process with them. So,
yep, managed to have Fernando on the show a couple of times. Next up is Derek. I've spoken to him about it. I'm going to get him on here one of these days. The guy's playing drums like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, he's crazy, but he's one of the best drummers in South Florida. I mean, the guy's just he's just so in the pocket, and just He's unbelievable.
No doubt. And I mean, it's really a pleasure for me and an honor sort of to have like sort of made the rounds in this community that we have down here with key players like you and Zach and Fernando and getting into the whole, you know, there may not be that much of a scene, but there definitely is a scene. And those guys are right in the core of the South Florida music scene.
Yeah, so. Fernando's doing some amazing things trying to get the word out.
Yeah, he really
show people that there are original music, that there is original music down here, and that people should be paying attention to it.
No, and we appreciate his voice.
There are a lot of great bands, but people just don't know about them. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I still haven't been able to figure it out. I don't know if it's because everybody down here is from everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's just so many different tastes and this and that, but, you know, people just don't seem to care too much about original music, because even national acts, you know, come down here and they don't sell out shows or play as big of venues as they do in other parts of the country, or those mid-level bands won't come down to South Florida because it's just not worth it for them. One,
yep.
Probably because to drive from, you know, to get through Florida to get all the way down here, you know, that's a haul.
No, I mean, if you go south of Atlanta, then you're making a big hook turn down here to come here and in a Tampa area, and it's a very unique market, that's for sure, and we have a
right.
lot of obstacles to overcome with
yep.
this market. So, yeah, but to just touch upon what you mentioned about Kickstarter, because I love promoting them on this show, and I have done that several times. You mentioned it. If there's people listening that, you know, you're up and coming, you're just starting out, you got a project in mind, you don't know how you're going to afford it, Kickstarter.com is an awesome place to start, because you can actually just like raise funds to do your project, and it's legitimate and it's very, very well policed by the website, so nobody can go in there and just kind of, you know, steal money from people by, you know, putting up fake projects and stuff. It really works. It's really legitimate, and it's put a few really, really great projects on the map that I know of, just on the surface. So Kickstarter.com to get into that more. And Jesse Young's Live, Love, Learn is another example of a project that was completed thanks to the help of Kickstarter.com. Now, I also want to play another track from Live, Love, Learn. It's called Running. And before we do that, Zach had mentioned to me a female artist that he had worked with, Chloe DeLandis, and she makes an appearance on this song with you.
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about Running, and then we'll roll right into it.
Running is actually the oldest song off the EP. I've actually, it's been around for more than a couple of years, and we had actually played it at Sunfest in 2009 when we opened for the Steve Miller Band, but it was a totally different song. It was definitely more upbeat. It just had a different dynamic to it, and so that was one of the songs I sent Zach, and he liked it a lot, and when we got into rehearsal with Fernando and Derek, we played through once because those guys remembered it from Sunfest. And Derek said, "Hey, I got this idea. What if we did it with this?" And he pulled out some brushes. He says, "What if I did this kind of drum beat?" So he did the, you know, the kind of, I don't know what you call it, the choo-choo train kind of a beat at the beginning. And we ran through the song that way, and it was a little slower. And kind of when we got through with it, it just had a totally different vibe. And I was like, you know, I like that a lot. Let's go with that. And then Zach had come up with this alternate line for the bridge, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And that was just a different way of doing it. And that, those couple little things really changed the song and kind of took it from being a good song, you know, at least that I thought it was a good song, to what I think is a great song. I mean, this song has turned out, you know, I think it's probably the best produced song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of those little subtle things that were done that really kind of took it to that next step. And then we were getting close to finishing it. And I don't remember if it was Zach or myself or somebody, but we said, you know, what do you think about a female vocal? You know, it's like the harmonies or something. And then I think that sparked, yeah, well, what if we did this like a duet? And we had her sing like, you know, here and split it up. And he said, yeah, I think I can get Chloe to do it, because he was, you know, still finishing up her record at the time. And I said, yeah, well, we'll have her sing on it. Let's see what it sounds like. I mean, if it works, great. If not, you know, well, you know, my parts are there, whatever, you know, we'll figure it out. And so he had Chloe come in and she sang it and he sent it to me. And I was like, awesome.
Wow, very cool. And those changes you talked about, those little subtle changes, it's really great to see those be born of, you know, guys standing around in like a rehearsal situation with their instruments, kind of throwing things around rather than making an edit and moving and doing bar beat editing to change the structure of the song. Again, you know,
yeah, we rehearsed before going into the studio and did, you know, we pre-production, and basically all four of us got together. We ran through the songs and we kicked around ideas and changed some parts here and added some different things. Or I had some things, hey, listen, I'm not really happy with this section. I want to do something different. And here's what I have in mind, but I have no idea how to do it. What do you guys think? And we, you know,
right.
we kind of kicked ideas around that way. And then at the end, in Running, for example, I was listening to one of the rough takes from the studio, and I had this line where da na 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 na, and it was at the very end of the song. And so I played it for Zach, and we laid it down just in that one part at the very end of the song. And then once he had done the piano and the guitar and stuff, and when I came back, he had added that line throughout, and it became a melody throughout the whole song. And I was like, man, that's genius to put it in there, because it was this reoccurring melody that like just gets stuck in your head.
Excellent.
So it was, yeah, just a lot of, it was, this album was, you know, by far the most collaborative record that I've ever done. And it was, you know, definitely because of Zach, Derek, and Fernando that, you know, the record went as good as it did. You know, I mean, those guys took it to another level.
That's awesome. And those are the stories that I strive for on this show, because when you hear that much detail about a song and then listen to it, it just puts it in an entirely new perspective. So well done. It's Running, Live, Love, Learn. It's Jesse Young, singer-songwriter, on the show today.
Somewhere along the way, things began to change, and all I hear from you is how we stay the same. Well, have you ever wondered, maybe it's not me, the one of many things that you can't see. So why are we living life this way, when we both know so often, it's hard to say what's real. I guess I'll do the right thing and say what we both feel. So why are we living life this way?
Running from Jesse Young. Live, Love, Learn. Jesse on the Bill Murphy Show today with us. A beautiful blending harmony there with Chloe DeLandis. Boy, that certainly did work out pretty well with you guys and those two voices. It sound like you've been singing together for years.
You know what? And actually, when she recorded it, I still hadn't even met her yet. I met her after she had recorded it, and she came by the studio when we were recording the horn section for Every Step We Take, and that was the first time I had met her.
Interesting.
So I'd only heard her music. I had heard the stuff that Zach played me and thought she had a great voice, but hadn't actually had the chance to meet her yet.
Wow.
But she's great. She's such a nice person. We got along really well the first time we met, and we're joking around, and she's come out, and she sang with, we did Running at the Ford Motion Show at Revolution last year, and then she came up and did it with us at Sunfest last year, and pretty much any time that she's pretty close by or can come up and join us on that song, we love to do it, because I like to try to do things like the way they're on the record as closely as possible.
Well, if you talk to her anytime soon, extend the invitation to come on the show and we can learn more about Chloe as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great. So Live, Love, and Learn. You can find it. I keep saying and learn. It's Live, Love, Learn from Jesse Young. You can get it at iTunes or at AmazonMP3.com. What's in the making with you? I know you mentioned that, your time is pretty occupied right now being a father of a one-year-old. And again, congratulations with that. What are you doing show-wise? Are you taking a break from this? When can we expect to maybe hear more music or see you live anytime soon?
Right now I haven't been doing a whole lot musically. I put the record out, and then last year was pretty busy just trying to spend time with her. And, like I said, I have a day job, and that keeps me pretty busy. So my time with my daughter's pretty limited. So when I have free time, either at night or especially on the weekends, I try to take every advantage of it, because she's growing so quickly.
Right.
She's just starting to walk now, and she's doing new things every day, and it's crazy. I absolutely love being a dad, and especially being her dad. She's amazing.
Well, I would also think, I'm wondering, A, if you're getting the itch to do more music stuff, and B, whether this whole fatherhood phase of your life is inspiring an even newer batch of tunes and material.
Yeah, I did write a song for her before she was born, we were starting to record it, because I think I said, hey, what do you think about putting this on it? And Zach, we kind of talked about it and thought, it didn't really, just for in the four songs, it kind of didn't fit with the flow of the four songs.
Mm-hmm.
But we did play it at Sunfest, and I actually have a video of us playing it.
Oh, cool.
Of us playing it at Sunfest on my website. I haven't been playing it a lot. I've got some song ideas, but I haven't really had a lot of time to sit down and fully flesh them out. I've got some music written, but I just haven't had the time to sit down and write the lyrics and actually throw them completely together, because I get home pretty late and try to spend time with her, and then she goes to sleep, and it's kind of tough to be playing guitar pretty loud.
Right, but something tells
trying to sleep, so.
Something tells me when you have the time, it will happen again, and there will be a lot of us patiently waiting to hear what comes out of you musically next, my man.
Yeah, I would love to, to get back to it, and I'm looking to play shows. For me, just been doing this for so long now, it's I really want to do quality shows rather than a quantity of shows.
Right,
I did the cover thing for a while, and used to play a lot in the Bull Bar in Del Rey, and a lot of those types of places, and. That's a lot of fun, and I would love to do that again, every once in a while, but I kind of got burnt out doing it every week.
Right.
And playing the same cover songs over and over and over again, and I would love to be able to focus more on original stuff. I love doing that. I love playing those songs, and there's a couple songs, cover songs, that I love to do. My favorite cover is, I do a cover of Paul Simon's You Can Call Me Al, and I'll sing that every night. That's my favorite song, and I love my version of it, and it's one of my favorite songs to play. When I play live, I love playing that song live. It's just so much fun to do.
Right.
Because we really kind of make it more rock than the original version. So I love that song. I have a blast playing it. So I could sing that cover song every single night. But when I used to play a lot of cover songs, if I had to sing Blister in the Sun one more time, I just couldn't take it anymore. So.
I'd love
to do more original music, but like I said, there's just not a huge original scene down here. It makes it tough, and especially for a solo guy, it's, people seem to like bands more than solo, it's harder to grab people's attention. It's just you and a guitar.
Yeah, well, I get it. But the thing is, as a singer-songwriter, you get to do both, and you're a little it's a little flexible because you can, you know, have the songs, create them yourself, and then when you go out live, you can have the whole band situation and turn it into a different form. Something tells me we haven't heard the last of your stuff, and there will be more coming up, and when you
I'm still around, and you know, I've talked about, you know, maybe, you know, doing another Kickstarter thing eventually or something like that.
Excellent.
I don't know, one of these days, but I was joking with Zach a couple weeks ago. I said, man, I'm feeling the itch. I wish I could get back to the studio and do some more songs with Zach because it was such a blast working with him and those guys. And, you know, I wish I could do that all the time. It's so much fun creating music, especially with other guys who get what you're going for. And, you know, it's so much fun bouncing ideas off each other and all this. And, yeah, I mean, that studio process was an awesome time, and I wish we could do more of it.
Well, yeah, I guess I could hear it in your voice. I could just tell that you get the itch. I didn't even have to ask that question. So we'll look forward to whatever happens next with you, and I appreciate it. Pass along my best to Zach. It was great to hear more of his work as well. Folks, you can check out Live, Love, Learn. Sample it at iTunes.com, and then you know, purchase the 4-song EP.
There should be a I'm pretty sure I still have a little widget on my webpage where you should be able to play all of the songs. So if, you know, people want to go to jesseyoungmusic.com, you can listen and preview all 4 of the songs there. And then if you like it, you know, go to iTunes and support local music.
Well, there you go. We'll include all the links to that on the page here, as well as his still active MySpace page. And you can check out more about Jesse Young. Thanks again for being on the show, my brother.
No, I really appreciate it.
Hang on for just a second and we'll say goodbye. We'll wrap up this edition of the program, reminding you one more time to visit our sponsors this weekend. Satchmo on commercial between Bayview and US 1, live music from JP Source Friday and King Mudfish Saturday. Lulu's, A1A and Beach Place in Fort Lauderdale Beach. Ghost of Gloria Friday night. Sun Domingo on Saturday. Go by and say hi and tell them that the Bill Murphy Show sent you. Thanks for liking and sharing the show. And be sure to visit once in a while the BillMurphyShow.com to see what's going on. And we'll catch you next time right here. Thanks again, Jesse.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.